God's word. Please rise for the reading of God's word. We are in verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35 says this. Anyone need a Bible? Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Si necesito una Biblia. Tenemos Biblias en español. Levante tu mano. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Verse 4, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would just bring life to this service, as you promised to do when your people gather, Lord, and they lay their pride aside, they lay their self-sufficiency aside, that they lay their agenda aside, their dreams aside, and they say, "Yes, Lord, tell us, here am I, send me, tell me, I will do what you're asking me to do, Lord." And I know there are many in this room. They came in that way, Lord. And so, Father, we're ready. We're ready to hear from you. I'm ready to hear from you. Speak, Lord. We're listening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, so Matthew 9:35. It says that then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So it says Jesus went about all the cities and villages. And I was really struck by that word, all. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. In the book of Mark, it says that Jesus went out before the sun rose one morning to pray, and it says that Peter and the other disciples went looking for him. This is chapter 1 of Mark, towards the end. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone's looking for you." And his response to them was this. He said, Jesus said to them, "Let's go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." He said, "Let's go. We got to leave this town. We got to go to the next one. For this reason, I have come forth." So Jesus is in one city a couple days. He's preached the gospel there, and he's already thinking about the next one. He was a driven man. He was a driven man, and it says he's going, again in verse 35 of Matthew 9, he's going to all the cities. What's driving him? What's driving him, we read last week, we're again here this morning, is verse 36. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Like sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. So another translation, the ESV says this. It says, "Because they were harassed and helpless." So the New King James, which you have, says they were weary and scattered. Another translation here is harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is moved with compassion. That's what's driving him from city to city. Again, last week we talked about these words, moved with compassion. He's being physically moved. Our words in English do not really describe what is going on. The best way of describing it is he had a heart of tears. Jesus had a heart of tears. And when he sees the people harassed and helpless, weary and scattered, he's moved, physically moved. Calvary Chapel, you were created to love God. You were created to love God, to be joined with God in a relationship which is so powerful, so life-giving, that you don't require anyone or anything else to give you joy and pleasure. That's how you were created to be joined with God. Again, a relationship so powerful, so life-giving, that it doesn't require anything else or anyone else. All you need is God. In recent weeks, we have been quoting Psalm 73, verse 25 a lot, which describes what a life looks like when it has been joined with Jesus Christ. It looks like this, Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you, God, and there's none upon earth that I desire beside you. That is a life that's been joined to Jesus Christ. It doesn't need anyone or anything else other than the Lord. There's nothing on earth I desire besides you. However, when a life has not been joined with God, when a life is empty of God, when the relationship with God does not exist because it's been broken because of human rebellion, I don't want to be governed by God. I want to be governed by me. That was the cry of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. The Bible says that's a cry of every human heart since Genesis chapter 3 that rolls out of his or her mother's womb. I don't want to be governed by God. I don't want to be governed by me. You just take a look at any three-month-old child screaming and yelling. That's what they're screaming and yelling. I don't want to be governed by God. I want to be governed by me. And so the Bible says that's the cry of every human heart. It may sound very freeing and liberating. Certainly the world tries to make it sound freeing and liberating. I don't want to be governed by God. I want to be governed by me. But the effect of that on a human life, the effect of the, I don't want to be governed by God, I want to be governed by me, the effect of it is that the soul, the human soul, shrivels up. It shrivels up. And what happens is that it becomes harassed and helpless, weary and scattered. Can we have that again, John? Harassed, because they were harassed and helpless. Why? Because they were not joined to the Lord. They were not lives that they were like any other life that has just gone through life trying to find purpose, trying to find love, trying to find something. They're not going to find it apart from the Lord. So they're harassed and helpless. Our version in the New King James says weary and scattered. And it says in verse 36, like sheep that do not have a shepherd. Calvary Chapel, you were created to have a shepherd. You were created to have a shepherd. Now, you, me, all of us, it's in our DNA that we inherited from Adam and Eve. We want to be our own shepherd. And we try it out, but we come to a place where we're harassed, we're scattered, we're weary, we're helpless. A soul that is harassed and helpless, weary and scattered. But to make matters indescribably worse, that soul is on the broad road that leads to hell. An eternity apart from God. So God's looking at the scene. John 3:16, most famous verse in the Bible for Christians, says that God so loved the world, he looked at a world. He looked at a harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered world, and so loved the world. Even in that condition, even in our sin, even when we were enemies of God, and he sent his son, his only begotten son, into the world. And so, we read verse 35. Again, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Why is he going to all the cities and villages? It's love. He's driven by love. Love for the harassed. Love for the helpless, for the weary and the scattered. And once he has finished preaching and teaching in one city, he's thinking of the next harassed, weary, helpless, scattered town with all the people there to bring life to that town. He's thinking about the next city or town where death is reigning. And people are on the broad road that leads to destruction. And he's going, it says in verse 35, to all the cities. Hey, Jeff, can we again adjust the temperature? It's come back down. It's getting too cold again. So he's going from city to city to city to city. And what's he doing there? Let's read it again. Let's read verse 35 of chapter 9. It says he went about to all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Quickly, teaching is when someone is explaining what the Bible says. Preaching is really a call to change. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to God. Everyone get that? There's a difference between teachers and preachers in the Bible. So it says in verse 35, he went about all the city, not some of the cities, all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So what's he teaching about? What is he preaching? Really, the question is, what is he preaching? What's he preaching? Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, very similar to Matthew 4:17, says Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is what he's preaching in all the cities and the villages. Repent. Leave this life in which you have been living, where the rule of your life is, I don't want to be governed by God. I want to be governed by me. You got to repent of that, and you got to turn to God. Repent is what Jesus preached from city to city, village to village, and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel, it says. And so, that leads to the question. The person says, okay, yes, I repent. I'm done with this life. I'm done with the motto of my life. I don't want to be governed by God. I want to be governed by me. I'm done with that. I'm just harassed, helpless, and scattered and weary. I'm done with that. So what am I supposed to believe? Let's see Mark 1 again, John. It says, repent and believe. Well, what am I supposed to believe? You're supposed to believe in Jesus and who he is. John chapter 6, verse 35. This is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. If anyone ever asked you, what is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one you're supposed to be eating from, feeding from, drawing strength and life from. Now, they freaked out in John chapter 6, right? And it says literally 5,000 people left. They turned around and left when he said this. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Calvary Chapel, this is what you believe. Again, Jesus went from city to city to city to village to village saying, repent, believe the gospel. This is what they were required to do. They were required to believe. Believe that Jesus was the bread of life. And so, yet again, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. So now let's go down to verse 37. So he's going from city to city, from village to village. And he's on the move. I mean, he's a hard worker, you know, as a gringo, as an American. I mean, I like that because Americans are like, we got our sin stuff. You know, we go everywhere in the world. We think we have everything figured out. We don't. And we wind up bruising and hurting a lot of people, the pride we have. One thing I like about the culture in America, we work hard. And I just love this picture of Jesus just going from city to city, village to village. And they say, hey, they go to find him because he's resting and praying to the Lord. And he's like, we got to go to the next city. He's on the move. But then he's going from city to city. He's looking at the people. His heart is filled with tears. And he says again in verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful. So he's looking at the countryside. The people are following him. They're weary and scattered. They're harassed and helpless. And with a heart full of tears, he's saying, verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Harvest meaning gathering souls and bringing them right into his bosom for an everlasting, eternal relationship with him. You never leave the bosom of Jesus Christ once he gets you there, ever. There's a sealing that happens in the relationship. So, he says, pray, verse 38, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest. Now, very important. When the Bible was written, when Matthew wrote this book, there were no chapters and verses. Meaning right after verse 38, you see that word 10? There was no number 10 there. Matthew didn't put, okay, we're at chapter 10. Here, I'm going to put a big 10. That did not happen. It wasn't there. The 10 wasn't put there for another 1,000 years. Now, the numbers are very helpful to us, right? We like those numbers. We really do. However, sometimes, as a Bible teacher, I wish the numbers were not there. And this is one of them. Because what happens with the numbers often is that we stop reading at the end of a chapter when we're not supposed to. If, for example, in Matthew chapter 9:38, you read chapter 9:38, it says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, and you go, boom, that's my devotion for today. I read chapter 9, and you stop reading. However, there's a danger in doing that. This is a great example. Verse 38 and verse 1 of Matthew 10 are very closely connected. They're very closely connected. He said, pray. He said, the harvest is plentiful, verse 37, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And verse 1 of chapter 10 says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now go down to verse 5. Skip down to verse 5. He says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of Samaria, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And then he says in verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what happened? His heart full of tears. He's got a heart full of tears. And he's like, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send his workers. And lo and behold, right there, God answers. Gives them 12 disciples that are ready, and he sends them out. So there's that close connection. He just said, you know, pray to God that he'll send workers, and then he goes off and he, has lunch or whatever. No, he immediately sends them out. Now, all of you here, sitting here, let me tell you something about you, and this is what the Bible says about you. It's not what I say about you. I'll tell you something about you all here. You are in one of two groups of people. Some of you sitting here today are in the harassed and helpless, weary and scattered group. You have been doing life without God in full control of your life, and you're a shriveled up mess. You're in the right place, by the way. Church is the right place, if that describes you. But you're in the, again, there's two groups of people. You're in this first group. You're harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered. You're a shriveled up mess. Jesus is calling you to get on your knees and cry out, I believe that If I come to you, I'm not going to thirst. I'm not going to hunger. However, and by the way, we will have a time at the end of the service giving you an opportunity to come forward and leave your shriveled up soul behind and get it replaced with a soul that's filled with life in Christ. But there's a second group. Many of you here are in the second group. And with this second group, Jesus is calling you and he's telling you to go and he is sending you into the harvest. You in the second group, you've repented at some point in the past. May have been last week, may have been 40 years ago. You said, I'm done with this motto that says, I don't want to be governed by God, I want to be governed by me. I'm done. I believe. I believe you, Lord, that you're the bread of life. I believe you, that if I come to you, I'll never hunger or never thirst. I believe that you're the Son of God and you've made me a co-heir, a son and a daughter of the living God. I believe that you've given me a second birth, that I am born again. I believe now, and I know what it's like to love God and be loved by God. And I, when I read Psalm 73, which says, whom do I have in heaven but you? And there's none upon earth that I desire besides you. I've experienced that. Guess what? God is sending you. He's sending you into the harvest. If you're not in the harvest and you've been making up excuses, I'm telling you, you've got your head in the sand. God is calling you into the harvest. Someone somewhere prayed a prayer that Jesus asked people to pray in verse 38, Lord, send laborers into the harvest, and guess who showed up? You. God called you, and now you're here, and he's telling you, you got to go out. You must go out into the harvest. Calvary Chapel, this I also know about you. And I also know it's what the Bible says about you. God has put a whole bunch of people in your life. And they're harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered. And he's called you to tell them the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is available to you. Get out of the kingdom of you and move into the kingdom of God. Calvary Chapel, he has put people in your life who are harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered. Now pause. I want to make a comment about harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered. People who are harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered. Now, I'm not the oldest guy in the world, but I am not the youngest guy either. And I spent 13 and a half years in the corporate world, Fortune 500 company. If you count the federal government, I spent 20 years in the corporate world. If there's one thing I have learned by working with people in the corporate world from the common laborers right up to company presidents, I worked with all of them. There's no such thing as someone who is well put together. These people don't exist. Now, I get it. You see these dudes, They show up with $2,000 suits. They're very articulate in the way that they talk. They're oozing confidence. The Bible says they're a mess. It's just a fact. And after you live long enough, you begin to realize, well, I know this Bible said that, but man, it's really true. I've gotten to know these people. They're a mess. They need Jesus Christ. Why? Their life is not joined to Jesus Christ, and therefore, they're a mess. Now, they're looking pretty good, and they've kind of figured out how to prop up their life. Some of them because they have a lot of money for the best therapist in town. Others because, man, just going after in the corporate life, it feeds them. You know, kind of like a vitamin B12 shot. But let me tell you, those shots come down after a while, and you just need another one. And after a while, they have to work harder and harder at making pretend that they're well put together. But they're not. They're harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered. And God has put you in the midst of these people. And the second group, first group, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ so you can go from first group to second group. But you, second group, you need to share with them about Jesus Christ. God has called you to do that. What do you say? The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is available to you. Get out of the kingdom of you and move into the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting that verse 7, when he sent the disciples out, verse 7, he told them to say, he didn't tell them to say the kingdom of God is here. He said, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. It was a way of them saying the great glories of the kingdom of God are about to come fully upon you. It was a way of saying the great glories of God are in the midst of being fulfilled. It was a way of saying, when they said the kingdom of God is at hand, it was a way of saying the life and death and resurrection of the Messiah, God's Savior, promised in the Old Testament. It's all happening now, and it will be here in its fullness. And so their message was to tell people the kingdom of God is at hand. Your message with that person in your life, that whether they look like it or not, they're a mess. They're harassed, helpless, weary, and scattered. The message now is, it's done. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has been established. Jesus has died. He rose from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. It's been accomplished. He lived a perfect life. Here's the easiest gospel presentation. By the way, we have gospel presentation training by me and Mary Wambua every Saturday morning. Sign up is in the back. Mary, is the sign up in the back? Mary, where are you? Yes, the sign-up is in the back. We're going to be starting up the summer session. You can sign up for the summer session. And we teach you how to share the gospel. Why? Because God has sent you. Some of you don't know what to say. But here's the easiest presentation ever. God lived a perfect life. Jesus lived a perfect life in order to credit that perfection to your account. He died for you because the Bible says the penalty of your sin is death and hell, but he experienced death and hell on the cross for you, and then he rose from the dead to prove that it was all true. Now, Some of you may be thinking, you know, that's really hard stuff. I don't know if I can talk very much about that. It's really hard. You know, there's a story in John, is it chapter 9? Jesus heals a blind man. They started throwing really tough questions at this guy because the guy was saying that Jesus was a prophet. And they started throwing questions. This guy must be a sinner. This Jesus must be a sinner. He's not really the person you think he is. And the guy, maybe the most, after John 3:16, maybe the most famous verse in the Bible. Actually, it's probably more famous than John 3:16 because it's made its way into the secular world. What did he say? What did the blind man say to those people attacking him when he was trying to explain about God? What did he say? I was blind, but now I see. What he said to them was, listen, I can't answer your questions. I don't really know a lot about the Bible, but this I know. I was blind, and now I see. You have harassed, helpless, weary, scattered people in your life, and they start throwing darts at you when you start talking about Jesus. Just say, look, I don't know the answer to your question, but I do know this. I asked Jesus in my life, and now everything's different. That's it. Just stick with that. Now, the Holy Spirit says he wants you to continue learning and developing. The Bible says that every man and woman should have an answer, a defense to what is being told you. But there's another thing. There's something else that you can do that may be even easier than that. We talked about it last week. You have people in your life, and they're harassed, helpless, weary, scattered. And you really don't know what to tell them. Invite them to church. Invite them to church. We talked about this last week. If you were not here, I recommend just listening to the message. It says, actually, do we have that verse? Can't remember if I took it out. All the way down to Luke 10, verse 1. It says in Luke 10, verse 1, it says very simply this. It says, he sent them before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. In other words, all these people really were doing that Jesus was sending out in chapter 10, they were just making an introduction to Jesus. Now, the Bible says what? Jesus, the church is the what? Body of Christ. And when you bring someone to church, when you invite them to church, you're inviting them just to be with Jesus. So maybe it's tough saying words, and you're not really comfortable yet with an argument. Pray about that. You're not very comfortable getting into an argument with someone or something. Invite them to church. Again, can we have that verse again? This is what he was telling them to do. He sent them before his face. In other words, his face was showing up in these cities. They were going to show up into every city and place where he himself was about to go. They were introducing him to Jesus. And as we said last week, what Jesus did in one body 2,000 years ago, we are doing today. Tens of millions of people throughout the world are doing the same thing. They're just introducing people to Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, oh man, I just don't know if I have the courage, the strength, the power to do that. To tell someone about, you see, okay, yeah, I get it. Pastor Steve, you're saying I'm in that second group. That Jesus is saying, okay, you need to go into the harvest. I don't have the strength or the power to do it. Look at chapter 10, verse 1, first half of the verse. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. He gave them power, it says. And you know what the Bible says about you? When you said to the Lord, may have been in the privacy of your own home. It may have been it may have been at an altar call here at this church where you came up at the end and said, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. But you said, I'm done with my motto. I don't want to be governed by God. And I want to start living by the motto, I want to be governed by God. I don't want to be governed by me. I want to be governed by God. It says that, and you believed in Jesus Christ and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says at that moment, God gave you power. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in him, meaning in Jesus, you also troubled and having believed, sorry, not troubled. Let me start over. In him, you also trusted. And having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Next verse. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is where? In you. The moment you believe, you trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit invades your life, takes possession, and never leaves. And with the Holy Spirit comes power. Here's a great one for Scripture Memory Night this Friday, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Everyone say this. Let's everyone say the last part of the verse together. Ready? But of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's do the whole verse together. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when Jesus sends you into the harvest, you can't say that you don't have power. You have been given power. Now, second objection. And again, we're talking about laborers going out into the harvest and the fact that you are that labor. God has sent you into a harvest. Second objection, I'm just an ordinary, uneducated woman. I'm just an ordinary, uneducated man. Well, let's read. My response to that is in verses 2 through 4, and then I'll explain. Let's read verses 2 through 4 of Matthew 10. Remember, verse 1 says, when he had called his 12 disciples to him. So verse 2 says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Verse 4. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, after Jesus resurrected, 40 days later, ascended into heaven. These 12 guys, minus Judas, they went out. And they went out into the harvest, is what they did. And people started coming to the Lord and being joined to Jesus Christ, putting away that motto, I don't want to be governed by God. I'm done being governed by me. I want to be governed by God. And they gave their life to Jesus Christ. They got into a lot of trouble, but the people, the religious leaders who they were in trouble with. It says this of them, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and discovered that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized these men had been with Jesus. So you're ordinary, you're uneducated in the Bible, maybe, or so you think. Well, these 12 men, Jesus didn't go to nothing about a Harvard PhD program, but he didn't line up at their Harvard PhD graduation, say, I want you, 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 and you. Now, Matthew the tax collector, he may have been a highly educated guy, the guy who wrote this book, but otherwise, these were uneducated, and they were ordinary. And you think of yourself as ordinary. So I can't go into a harvest, I can't tell that guy at work, that woman at work, I can't tell them anything, that roommate, that neighbor. I'm just an ordinary guy. Pastor Steve, Solomon, Pastor Eric, Matt, Dan, Dave. They can tell people about the Lord's. Stephanie can, Jasmine can. But not me. I'm ordinary. Well, guess what? These guys, these 12 guys listed in Matthew 10, 2 through 6, they were ordinary and they went right into the harvest and it was a big harvest. So again, Chapter 9, verse 37. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The Lord has put people in your life. People who are harassed and helpless, weary and scattered. And he's called you to share with them about Jesus. He's called you to invite them to church. You are the answered prayer. So if the worship team could come up at this time, if you all could rise for the closing worship song, if the people who have been called to pray could come up, if you've been called to pray, if you could come up at this time, be great. We are going to close with a worship song. It's also a time of prayer. You know, going into the harvest is quite terrifying for me. Coming up here on Sunday morning, that's not terrifying. I'm used to it. I come up here, and I'm really excited usually about coming, but actually going up to someone and into the harvest, it's terrifying. And a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I decided that I was just going to try to beat my problem, face my fears. So every Sunday morning before church, I'm off on a prayer walk and I talk to 3 or 4 people about the Lord. Some people have the gift of being an evangelist, meaning they treat talking to people about the Lord the way that I teach. They're not scared about it at all. They just, We have a few in our church. They just go out and why would anyone be scared about this? Going up to a perfect stranger who has tattoos all over them, metal all over their face, and talk to them about Jesus? Why would anyone be scared about that? Well, yeah, guess what? That's the other 98%. That's us. But, you know, I say sometimes it's sharing with someone about God or inviting someone to church. It's like jumping into a cold pool. You know you have to do it. Just do it. And you'll feel great when you get out. So you may have in your life, we have a time of prayer right now, and so perhaps you would just like someone to pray that you would have courage in your life and that God would expand the borders of your heart and pour faith into that expanded heart. Maybe you want that. Maybe you have someone in specifically that you want to share with them about God, or you want to invite them to church, but you're terrified. Come up and we can pray about that. Or perhaps you are a person who has never taken that motto, I don't want to be governed by God, I want to be governed by me, and just smash that thing to the ground and gotten rid of it. And told the Lord, told Jesus, I believe who you are, I believe you lived for me, died for me, and rose again from the dead. I believe you're my Savior. You've never actually said that. Well, you can say that with us up here, with me, just through a simple prayer of faith. The Bible says, at that time, immediately, the Holy Spirit comes in and occupies. And your life of being weary, scattered, harassed, helpless is over. Better put, whenever weariness or scatteredness or helplessness enters, you know who to go to bring you back to a place where there's life and there's peace and there's joy. Come up. You can pray about it at this time. If there's anything else you'd like to pray about, come up. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just finish your work. Finish your work in our hearts, Lord. Amen and amen and amen.